This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast, I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. Like the staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Man, that's young chicks do it. It's project and model. That means I fly rough early, plus I know Tabo. That means I'm new school, pop pills and stay in beat. But I never have a problem with my first class seat. I love
girls, 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 girls.
Yo, put your number on this paper, cause I would love to date you. Holla at you when I come off tour.
I love girls, 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 girls all over the globe.
I come scoop you in that coupe, sitting on deuce zeros. Fix your hair in the mirror, let's go. All right, anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I must start out by thanking you for taking whatever time out of your day to come chill with me and listen to whatever nonsense I have to talk about. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. Getting back on track with the, like, this week in hip-hop or album anniversary kind of trend. Man, can you believe The Blueprint is 21 years old? It was released 21 years ago, September 11th, 2001? Like, the album is 21 years old. The album can vote. Like, shit is crazy. Like, it's borderline depressing. But, yeah, for some reason, this one doesn't bother me as much. Like, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I think if, yeah, like, a 20-year-old album, like, is officially, like, old school. So, like, the music I listen to is considered old school at this point. Maybe it has been for some time now. I'm just now coming to terms with and being okay with that. But, fuck it, though. It is what it is. I picked Girls, Girls, Girls from that album because that's the song I usually point to when, like, I talk to people about, like, a perfect rap song. Like, I'm very much into, like, technique and the technical aspects of rapping, like, you know, 16 bar verses, eight bar hooks, three verses, that kind of thing. And, you know, and this is one of those songs that definitely, you know, fits that format. And then it's, you know, the rhyme scheme has patterns on top of patterns, not just, you know, from the way he's rhyming, but just the content and the themes. Like, he describes each girl and then gives you a breakdown of the girls, you know, right before the hook. Like, it's just dope. And it's just technical skill on display. And without being, like, super fast, it wasn't like a double speed cadence or anything like that. It's just regular slow flow, J, smooth as hell, but, like, technically perfect in my opinion. I know that's not a widely held opinion, but in my opinion, it's a technically perfect song. So it's dope. So I decided to open with that one. Anyway, this is one of those weeks where, you know, I had Chef Elise for the weekend, and we had quite the week. So this would be a Chef Elise centered episode. So let's go ahead and get into it. Let's hit the Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe.
All right. So this was, you know, a very busy week. Like I said, I've probably driven more this week than ever before. That's not saying much, but for me, a person who, you know, driving is still a foreign concept and still, like, an anxiety riddled experience for me, it's a big deal. I made several trips this week to Pflugerville and back. I promise you that's a real place. Several trips to different activities that, you know, Chef Elise had. And I'm guessing this is just the beginning. Like, you know, she's six. She'll be seven in December. You know, the amount of activities probably is only going to ramp up from here. And maybe at some point I'll need to look at moving closer to Pflugerville. It's only like a half an hour away. But again, for me, big deal. So the week started Thursday was her first soccer practice for the fall season. So, you know, she played soccer last season. You know, she had a good time. I don't think she was particularly good at it. I don't think she picked up any skill or anything like that. I don't even know if that was necessarily the focus, you know, of these leagues at this age. I think there were like one or two, maybe three girls on her team that you could see, you know, has some talent or, you know, or just wanted to be really good at it. So I think those girls went on to another part of the league, and so did their coach. And so Elise, I wasn't sure if she was going to be on board with like wanting to keep doing it, like if, you know, if she really enjoyed it like that. But apparently she did. She wanted to do the fall season. I think she would have been upset if, you know, she didn't get signed up for it. So her mom went ahead and did that. And I knew it was coming. It still kind of caught me off guard, but the first practice was this week. And of course, it fell on a Thursday, and this being like opening weekend for the NFL, you know, first game was on Thursday night. But, you know, if I got to choose between football and my sweet pea, it's going to be Elise all day, every day. So I made my way out to Pflugerville to watch Elise, you know, with her first practice. When I got there, I got the news that Elise, you know, was already sort of upset. You know, season hadn't even really started. She's already upset. She was upset that it wasn't the same team. Like, she, I guess she was expecting to come back to all the friends that she already knew, the coach that she already knew, the team that she already knew. She wanted to be the Mustangs again, and now she's the Dragons, or, you know, whatever, she's a Dragon. And so that kind of threw her off. But she got out there, and she was having a good time. You know, it was a good practice. New team, new coach. I like the coach that she has. This guy seems, you know, really laid back. Maybe not as like we taking them. These are going to be the future, you know, women's soccer team representatives in the World Cup. Like he just like, let's, you know, go have fun. The practice seemed very fun and, you know, playful. And Elise was doing the stuff. Like, she was actually doing it. And she definitely still seemed like the one that heading the clouds, kind of doing her own thing. But, you know, for the most part, she was participating. But it still seemed like I'm not expecting much. Like, it still seemed like the same Elise. Like, she's happy to be out there. She wanted to play. You know, she got over the whole new team thing. And I think she made some new friends, which is always good. But yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, I haven't been in this mode where I feel like, you know, I'm preparing for this athlete. Like, she just enjoys being out there or whatever. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, going to practice is going to practice. I'm there, so she knows that I'm there, so she sees me, so I can be supportive and I can be dad and all that fun stuff. But I'm not there because I'm like, oh yeah, my daughter's awesome soccer player. So practice is not fun to, you know, you're just there. And me and her mom's there and her stepdad was there. And we're talking about movies and stuff. Like, we barely paying attention. And then just as I thought, like, this was going to, I don't want to call it a waste of time because I'm out there for my daughter. But, you know, just as, you know, I'm starting to feel the fact that I'm, you know, I'm missing the game, that, you know, I'm not going to catch the kickoff. Like, I'm going to catch, you know, maybe midway through the first quarter kind of thing. Just as that's kind of happening, a mom showed up. And this was a particularly interesting mom. And the funny thing is that my ex-wife noticed her first. But there's always seems to be like a mom that shows up just in what most people would consider to be inappropriate attire. And sometimes, you know, it's inappropriate and it's maybe offensive because you don't want to see all of that because, you know, it's not. You know what I'm trying to say. It's not what you wanted to see. This wasn't necessarily the case this time, but my ex-wife, she noticed it first and she brought all of our attention to it. And then it was like, bow, you know, there it is. It was crazy.
What you doing out here with all this ass?
Just, oh.
Double cheeked up.
Double cheeked.
On a Thursday afternoon.
And it was
hella ass. The sun is still out.
The sun was still out. The sun was definitely still out, and it was just out there. And this was like, I know the difference between, I forget what comedian it was like, dudes don't know the difference between a woman with a big ass and a big ass woman. This was just a fat ass, like, it was loose. Like, I'm sure there was a thong or something involved because it was moving freely. It was very distracting. I mean, distracting from my daughter playing soccer and distracting from the fact that I wasn't watching the football game. But, you know, it was what you just see these things and you wonder what the decision making process was. I'm not going to judge, you know, for all we know, she might have had to rush to her kids practice, you know, straight from work. We don't know. We don't know what her life is like. We don't know what preceded that decision. But God bless her for making it out there and brightening everybody's day. But anyway, it made me missing the kickoff somewhat interesting. And so it wasn't that bad of a day. But that was my first trip out to Pflugerville for Sheffield Lee's practice. My next trip back to Pflugerville was the very next day. So Friday I had to go back. Normally I would have gone back anyway because I have to pick Elise up from school when it's our weekend. But this week, Elise had the opportunity to perform at the halftime of a high school football game. And I've been in Texas more than 10 years now. It's almost 10 years now. And I haven't done the whole like Friday night lights thing. I haven't done the high school football thing. I can see how big of a deal it is, but I had never like participated in it. So I didn't really understand just how big of a deal it was. But this Friday, Elise was performing at this halftime game or this halftime show. And so, I had to make it out to a game. So I got in my car and I drove out to the field. That's the name of the stadium. It's in Pflugerville, which is Pflugerville with a P, like however you think that's spelled. And then they do this dumbass thing in the city where they just put P's in front of all the other words that begin with F. Because I guess somebody figured that was cool, interesting, funny, whatever. It's not. But that's what they do. So I went out to the field. I want to say P field. But that sounds like it'd be like a P-Valley spinoff or something, and I don't want to make that association, so I'm just going to call it the field. But it's a big deal. They got a Jumbotron and everything. Like, it was crazy for me. I don't know what other areas are like in terms of their high school football, but I had never seen a high school football stadium, like a separate stadium, like, you know, across the street from the school almost kind of thing. And it had a Jumbotron. Like, it was kind of crazy to me. But you had to buy e-tickets and stuff, like scan a little QR code and buy tickets on your phone. And it was kind of like, it was weird. Security was like top flight. They wasn't letting people in and out, you know, like no in and outs. You know, like once you come in, you in, you can't leave, and you come back. It was no water bottles and no purses. And it was a very, very big thing. But yeah, made it out there. It was funny for me because I'm out there with my ex-wife and her new husband. And I cast out the bag at this point. So I don't think I'm telling anybody's business, but my ex-wife is expecting. She's pretty close. And, I remember what the experience was like when we were married and, you know, Elise was on the way. And just like seeing her like give him shit because, at the concession line about like what she was going to eat and drink and stuff like that. Like I had gotten popcorn and I was just sitting there like eating my popcorn just, it's your problem now, homie. I can't help you. Like, you know, like this is a show for me. Keep going. It was very, very interesting. But so they were there. Chad and his family came out to support my little girls, which I was very appreciative of. I think he got mad at me because I invited him like the day before. And he said he was coming. And, he works these crazy hours. I think he had just gotten off work, had to get home, like shower, get the family together, make his way out there. And when I sent him the message to invite him, I talked about like the e-tickets. And I was asking him if everybody was coming or just him, and I could go ahead and buy the tickets, you know, early. And before he could answer, I was like, you know what? They're only a dollar extra if you buy them the day of. So I'm not going to worry about like trying to figure out who's coming or how I get you these tickets. We'll just buy them at the gate. And then the day of the thing, I realized I needed to be there early. So I was there like maybe an hour before the game started and like already in. And once again, no ins and outs and that kind of thing. So I couldn't leave to come out and greet him or escort him in or whatever it was. So he ended up having to buy tickets at the door. And he got me back for it. I'll talk about that later. But yeah, I think he was a little upset about that. But, I mean, the game was the game. It's high school football. I didn't care. I didn't really even know what team he was rooting for. You know, I think it was the Pflugerville High School team, which is out where my ex-wife lives and where Elise goes to school. And then the other school they were going against was McNeil, which is the school closer to me. So, I don't know. I guess I was a visitor. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But halftime came, and this was interesting because it was like a full-on halftime show. So again, I've never even really been to a high school football game, period, more or less like this Texas version of high school football. But the first, the visiting team band comes out first. And of course, like they're an award-winning band. They're pointing out like all of the All-Americans on their cheerleading squad. And I didn't know this was a thing. I didn't know that was no diss. I just didn't know. I just didn't know. And then like, I saw all the instruments and stuff they were wheeling out, like pianos and like just they were wheeling out instruments. It wasn't just the band walking around with tubas and drums and shit. Like it was damn near orchestra. And they like put on. It was not a halftime. It was not like a riled a crowd up type halftime show. Like it was super artsy and choreographed and yeah, I felt cultured a little bit after I watched it. Like I didn't necessarily feel like I was at a football game. I felt like I was at a, you know, some sort of arts, performing arts school performance. Like I went to a recital or some shit. Like I don't know, but it was crazy. It was crazy. And this is the other thing I don't get about like this new. I think we're feeding into some of this new generation stuff a little too much. Like as the band was leaving the field, it was like, and they want to, you know, wish the best to, you know, the Pflugerville, whatever, in all their competitions this year. Blah blah blah. And it's like, all right, that's a little too much. Like you, to me, halftime against a poll, like the two football teams are going at it. The two bands are supposed to be going at it. And you don't have to say like, fuck you, I hate you, or, you know, I wish you die, nothing like that. But like, do you have to be like, and I wish you the best in all your endeavors. And, you know, I hope you guys have a great year. Like, nah, fuck all that. Like, just, you know I'm saying, like, do we have to be so everybody wins stuff? Like, nah, stop participation trophying up life. Like, just relax a little bit and compete. Like, it's cool. You cannot like the opposing team and then still, you know, kick it afterward. Like, it's all good. Like, it's not that serious. You don't have to go that far. But anyway, after that band went off, then came Elise. She got to perform with the home school, home team's band. And she did her thing. Like it was, we weren't sure how she was going to do, whether she was going to like freeze up and get nervous, like when it was time to perform, but like she hammed it up from the beginning to end. Like she was jumping before the music even started. You know, she showed no signs of nervousness, danced her little heart out, man. She was even blowing kisses to the crowd when it was over, like just true performer type shit. Like just crazy, crazy. She told me afterwards on the ride home that she wants to be a celebrity when she grows up. And I don't even know how to begin to have that conversation with her, because I guess that's the thing now. Like there are people who are famous for being famous, and we don't know like what their skill or talent or what it is they bring to the table. Just that they're famous, and you got to respect that. I don't know. But and so now, you know, you don't want to see your kids like fall victim to that culture. But maybe that's, yeah, I'm trying not to be a Neanderthal and understand that things change and everything that's new isn't bad and everything that old isn't better. But it sounds like some bullshit to me. But I'm going to let her have her moment and we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Like, not that big of a deal at the moment. The big deal for me was that I got like initiated into the dad club at the game, which was a big deal. Cause you know, I'm her dad, but you know, I'm not the in the house dad, and I'm not even the dad that's near the school. So, you know, when it comes to like school activities and things like that, you know, people know her stepdad. He's the one that picks her up. He's, you know, he's there more. He's in the neighborhood for the stuff that happens in the neighborhood. I'm not. And, I remember when we took our daughter to the first day of first grade, you know, it's the three of us and we drop her off and we're having the whole thing. And, you know, and as we're leaving, you know, another set of parents are leaving, and I think Elise and little girl know each other. And so, you know, her dad and the stepdad, you know, start having a conversation, and they're exchanging numbers, and, you know, and my ex-wife is in there and she's exchanging numbers. And I kind of fall back because it's like, there's no point in you and me getting your number because I'm not the person to coordinate that kind of stuff with. Like, I'm not, it ain't me. So I just kind of hung back and just let it happen. But this, the same dude, I'm walking Elise back to the stands and his daughter sees, you know, us walking and they're like best friends. They got a secret handshake and everything that I can't see. Like, I can't be privy to. But she comes out the stands and, you know, is hugging Elise and they're having their little moment. And then he sees me. He mistakes me for her stepdad, which is weird because I don't think we don't have the same build. I don't think we look alike. And I know our personalities aren't the same, but it's cool. You know, whatever. You know, he knows that as her dad. And I apparently look like I'm her dad in that moment. And so, you know, I don't, whatever. He came down and, you know, I corrected him and just let him know, you know, nah, that's her stepdad. You know, my name is Jared, blah, blah, blah. It's all good. It's cool. And you know, and so he was telling me his daughter wanted to have a play date with Elise. She was just talking about wanting to do something with Elise. And I think he had reached out to my ex-wife about it. And she was like, well, she's with her dad this weekend. And so he's like, oh, well, I need to get your information so we can coordinate some stuff. And, you know, and he sent me a text with him and his wife's number, you know what I'm trying to say. He and his wife's number. I guess I'm connected. I'm in the group now. And then we talked after the game about like them starting, wanting to start up a swim team in that neighborhood. And I'm not in the neighborhood, but, you know, I guess that's my kid and I'm going to have some involvement in it. So she's like, yeah, so you're in it too. So I guess I'm like, I'm in the dad club. I feel a part of the group. It was a big deal. But yeah, that was Friday. And I guess Friday night ended with Chad's revenge. So to get back at me for making him buy those tickets when, you know, when I kind of set the expectation that I was going to buy the tickets and it just didn't work out that way. He went to the concession stand and bought cotton candy and made sure to kind of like force feed it to my daughter after she came off the field from her stellar performance. So she went home, you know, on a sugar rush. I don't know when she went to sleep, but we had a game early that next morning. So to move on to my third trip now to Pflugerville, early Saturday morning, we don't get home till maybe like 9. I think we left the game at like 9. I don't know what time we got home. My daughter said she was hungry, gave her something to eat. She's hopped up on cotton candy. You know, I gave her the whole spiel, like, I'm putting you in the bed, lights is off, whatever. Like, you got a game tomorrow. I know as soon as I walk away, you're not going to sleep. You're waking back up. But I'm just telling you, you need to get some rest because I'm getting you up early tomorrow because we got to be somewhere. And I have this thing now. Like, I was routinely the late person. I could be counted on to not be on time for stuff. So it's like in my new life, my post, you know, alcoholic life, I'm trying to be on time for shit. So yeah, like, you know, I want to get there early. So, you know, Saturday morning came, I woke up, I had to drag myself. You ever been so tired that you can't see? Like I woke up and I know my eyes are open, but like just my vision is blurry and I'm trying to will my vision to being clear, like just because I got to get up, I got to go. But I woke up and I got her up and got the stuff together, got her dressed. We had to get there early because they were handing out jerseys. So she had to get there and then get dressed. But I got, you know, her stuff together and everything. And we got out on the road again. You know, like this drive to Pflugerville is not, you know, the easiest drive for me. So, you know, I wanted to make sure I wasn't in a rush and I could miss turns if I needed to and shit like that. But we got out there and I was proud because I did like my best veteran soccer dad impression. Like, I'm not new to this. I didn't show up like I don't know what I'm doing. I had my chairs. I brought provisions. You know, I had fruit. I had drinks, sports drinks and water. I had napkins and tissues for runny noses. I had all of that and, you know, I set up and, you know, and we were right. And Chad and the family came out to that too. So they made the quick turnaround. So I can't be too mad at him for feeding her the cotton candy because, you know, he made the turnaround too and came out the next day and hung out with us you know, at the soccer field. But we're all there. And like I said, I had been to practice on Thursday. I saw where my daughter was in terms of her soccer. And, you know, she still does the whole, like, she trails the play. Like, she's like, I'm out here and I'm running, but I'm running behind everybody. But I'm not running so far behind everybody that, you know, you don't think I'm trying. But I'm never going to quite get to where the ball is. Like, I'm always going to be just, oh, man, I just missed it. Like, you could just see that intentionality in her. Like, I don't want to be there, but I can't make it look like I don't want to be there. So I'm going to do this. So that's my mindset. So I watched a little bit, and I mean, I could see it when she got in the game. You know, I took my videos and stuff and pictures so I could, you know, let family members know. First day of fall soccer, all that fun stuff. But I was doing my socializing thing. I'm talking to Chad. I'm talking to my ex-wife. I'm talking to her stepdad. We cracking jokes. We having a, you know, we entertaining ourselves as adults on the sideline. These are not exciting games. Not at all. And then out of nowhere, like, without me being prepared for it, just it happened. Like, you know, like I just looked up and I actually thought she was messing up. When I looked up and like she was in front of the goal and like the ball is right there, I thought it was the other team's goal and she was about she was about to score a goal on herself. Like that's what I thought was happening. And then when it happened, I think if anybody was looking at me, my immediate reaction was like, oh, you know, like it's okay. And then everybody else was like, you scored. And I was like, oh shit, she scored a goal. Like it was a big deal. I didn't even have my camera. I didn't capture it. But I could say I was there and it happened like right in front of me. I just didn't know what I was looking at when I saw it because I wasn't paying attention. Lesson learned. And then the amazing thing that happened after that was that once she got a taste of success, like once she scored a goal, and it was a pure accident, I think. I don't even think she was trying to score. I just think she was there and the ball hit her foot and it went in and it was a goal. I shouldn't take that away from my daughter. It was a goal. But whatever. But once she got that little bit, it changed. Like you could see her out there. Like she was defending and she was getting in a stance and getting low. And like it looked like she was playing basketball or something out there. Like she was getting serious. And I think, you know, like this may be the beginning of something. And when I posted it, like on social media, like Sheffield Lee scored her first goal. Like that's the response I got back from a lot of people. Like, oh, all right, you know, this begins, you know, the long athletic career, or be prepared to be. At the thing, I think all parents like view it that way, like shit, like, you know, they get good at something. Now I got to do this all the time. And so, I guess it'll be a long soccer career and y'all will hear about all of it because I don't have nobody else to tell. But Sheffield scored a goal this weekend and it was a big fucking deal. Big fucking deal. I'm proud of that. I need to stop like talking shit about her soccer skills. I'm a realist. Anyway, so, you know, game ended, you know, cleaned up. We went to breakfast afterward, went to her favorite spot and got her pancakes and Chad and his family was there too. And we, you know, good time. And so between Friday night, late night, Friday night, having to get up early, going to play an entire game and then me trying to feed her, you know, get her nice and full. I figured, you know, when we get home, even if she doesn't want to take a nap, she'll be cool with just like chilling, you know. So I get her home, get her upstairs, and she immediately starts like just like pulling out. So I think she was trying to get something, a dress or something of hers out of the closet because she wanted to try on a dress. And then she saw that we had this slime kit. We used to make slime all the time. So I had the kit still in the closet. And she figured out a way to get up there and get it, and she brought it down. And I'm immediately trying to convince her, oh, man, you know, like, I don't think we have all the stuff we need to do that. And, you know, I think we're out of glue and blah, blah, blah. And she's just pressing the case. She's still taking the stuff out the box. Like, she's not hindered at all by any of the shit that I'm saying. Like, this is what she wants to do next. And I'm just like, all right, look, like, if you just give Dad a minute, like just give Dad some time to rest, then we can do the slime thing later. I just need some time to rest. And she's trying to open this stuff. I'm like, no, don't. Like, just give me a minute. And so, you know, I'm blaming it on the fatigue. I'm blaming it on the fatigue, the intermittent fasting. I have been like surviving off guava for a couple of days. I did have breakfast that morning when she had her pancakes. But I'm trying to find an excuse for myself because I went back downstairs with her up there with the slime kit with the feeling in my mind like she's not going to do nothing until I wake up or until I'm, you know, ready to be dad again. And I go downstairs and I crash. And so apparently while I was crashed, she had called me a couple times, you know, to see if it was time to proceed with the slime making, and I didn't respond. So some things happened. And before I go any further, I want to say this. I think for anybody who has listened to the show or even has even listened to the show up until this point of this episode, you know, I don't shy away from profanity. So I don't want anybody to be upset by what they may hear coming up here. But I want to say this to anyone that has had anything to do with the invention, the marketing, the sale, the distribution, anything at all with any aspect of glitter.
You just want to say, fuck you. Oh, fuck you, fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you.
From the bottom of my heart, I mean that shit. Like, it's not a joke. I don't see the purpose of the thing at all anymore. Like, why would you make such a thing? You either make whatever you want to make sparkly, make that thing, but don't make a thing that you add to something to make it sparkly, and don't make it in a way that you can't add it to any one specific thing. Once glitter comes out, it's fucking out, and it's on everything, and it's on everything forever. And then when you add into the equation this already malicious substance that the slime kit comes with, glue and little styrofoam balls to make the slime have like crunchy sounds and stuff like that. And it's got several different like grades of glitter. Like, they're large pieces and then they're finer pieces and they're even finer pieces than that. This is diabolical. Anybody who had anything to do with this, like, man, just fuck you forever. Like, I don't know if there's any coming back from this for you. I don't know what was in your mind when you made the decision to come up with something like this. 2-3 showers later, I think she still got glitter on her. My dustpan is done. I just need to buy a new broom and dustpan because that ain't ever coming out. That's never, never, just never. And I know that for the next, you know, couple weeks, you know, I'm going to have to convince people that I wasn't at a strip club or something. Or, you know, what's all that glitter on you? Shit happened. I got a daughter. Like, you know, shit happened. Slime. Don't ask questions. Just whatever. Fuck you, too. But, yeah, man. My new thing now is that I have to find ways to get her more involved in the cleaning process. Because I'm hoping that if she has to help me clean these things up, that'll slow her down in making the mess to begin with. I'm not sure if that's going to work, but, you know, I got to try something. It's just that the message that she makes, like, sometimes I see this stuff. I used the word flabbergasted before, but I'm typically flabbergasted. Like, I'm just caught in awe. Like, I have no idea how to approach the stuff that she does. So, like, even giving her instruction to help me, because I don't even know what to tell her to do, because I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get glue and glitter up off of the floor in a way that doesn't make it worse. I don't know that I did. I mopped in that. Like, I feel like I've just spread glitter around. It's going to be here forever. For fucking ever. Like, I closed my eyes for a little bit. Just, I tried to do good dad things, and, you know, I love my little girl. I love her to death. I love that she wants to make things and experiment and stuff. I just, I got it. I don't know. I think it, what is it? Neil deGrasse Tyson said, you know, kind of, once you decide to have kids, you need to let go of the idea of there ever being, you know, order and calmness in the world. Like you need to let that go. You need to not try to fence them in. They're born to experiment and try things and break things and destroy and, you know, and rebuild. You know, that's in them. That's innate. And it's how you learn. And you need to not try to kill that. But God damn it. Like, oh, man. I feel like it got to die. But I know. Whatever. Woosa. But all right. Let's do we got a little bit of time. This had to run too long. Let's knock out one of these real quick. Oh, no. It's the question. All right. Let's see. If you could work as an assistant to anyone for a year, who would you choose? Man. All right. Just, you know, because I don't have much time. I think I'm going to go with that. What's his name? Gary V. That dude that, you know, seems to be like super rich, but is always like trying to teach people entrepreneurship or the ways that, you know, you can build a business. Or he seems to be very prophetic when it comes to like what's going to jump off next and, you know, and what's going to happen next. And just to, you know, just to understand that thought process or learn some of that. And he seems to be very into creatives and content and understanding, like, you know, beyond the creating the content, you know, what to do with the content or what type of content to focus on. Like he just seems to have some sort of innate ability to understand these things in a way that I clearly don't. Because I, you know, I've been doing this for almost 6 years, and how to market a podcast is beyond me. But yes, Gary V, if I could be an assistant to anyone for a year, that's what I'm going with. And with that said, I'm going to get out of here. I appreciate y'all for listening. You know, please go check out the merch store. whatistws.com/store. You can get all your merch. The coupon code algorithm will still get you 20% off your entire order right now. It's not quite hoodie season. So we're going to stick with the algorithm for right now. So go ahead and hit up the store. Get what you can. Help me send Chefy Lee's to Disney World or something, or, you know, help her on her way to become a celebrity, whatever the fuck that means. But other than that, you know, until we speak again, I appreciate you. You be safe, be easy, be the light, stay away from glitter and anybody who has anything to do with it. And know this, if you know nothing else, I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could've had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.